Just very quickly to recap, in a few short words, in our first lecture we discussed, in the first two lectures, we've discussed structure of Tehillim, patterns, and we, on the flyer that went out, said that we would tonight be discussing sequence. Very quickly, I got a lot of feedback on last week's class, a lot of very positive feedback, I'm happy to say, from lots of people, and I just want to reiterate to you that we really haven't even begun to touch the beginning, the surface of what's going on as far as structure is concerned, like you saw last week, as far as the focusing and the highlighting, the covenantal symbolism. We really just want to make sure you all realize we just touched the surface. Many of the mizmorim, I feel all of them, all work within this structure, and by working on them yourselves, I think you should know that don't put it beyond yourself to be able to actually open up a mizmor. Work it very hard. Use some of the techniques that you were introduced to last week and the week before, and you'll find that you'll be able to see the center point, the message that's being conveyed, the ideas, the concept, the symbolism, and be able to relate to the mizmor. Let's remember that this is the real objective over here. It's not simply a scientific thing, but rather something that you'll be able to take home with you and actually make application for yourself when you're learning Tehillim. So try it, and I think you'll find that just with the information, if you kept any of the handouts from last week and the week before, and you put it all together, you should be able to come up with some forward movement over there. This week, we're going to be working, I hope you folks did the homework. We said it's very quick homework. You only had to read Mizmorim 45 through 49, through 50, 51. If you didn't, even while I'm talking right now, it would be a good idea for you to take a quick look at those Mizmorim, because tonight's class is very difficult without having a sense of the language and a sense of what's going on in this series of Mizmorim. Good evening, Rabbi. I waited. Okay. All right, we'll start. Dr. Shammer is going to help us along with the English when necessary. And we're going to learn this Mizmor straight away. Before we have any discussion on it, we're just going to read it and try and understand what's being said in a very the simple Peshat level of the Mizmor. Lamnatzeach al shoshanim livnei Korach meskil shir yedidot. Let me quickly point out that this superscripture, once again, we've said that the superscriptures might indicate in the last year, we started to work on seeing how superscriptures may in fact not simply be tunes or songs, but rather may indicate on actually setting the stage for understanding the mizmor in some way. These mizmorim, in the beginning of the second book, we're working on the second book of Tehillim now, which starts at mizmor 42 and concludes at 72. So that means it has 31 mizmorim in it. We're going to be learning the 45th one. We're skipping the first three mizmorim. But the first eight mizmorim through 49, 42 through 49, all are mizmorim that contain the superscripture Libneh Korah in some form. The one that doesn't is 43, which we read. You all are familiar with this because we read it on the holidays. This is the one we read on Sukkot, and we read the two of them together. It's the combined 42 and 43 that we read on Sukkot. So you read it many, many times on the holiday, and you're all familiar with it. That one does not have, the 43 does not have a superscripture, but we see that they're certainly a pair, they're combined, and they're sort of like one unit. Other than that, since there's lots of work to cover tonight, I want to leave the superscripture. There's more to be said about it, a lot more. Maybe we'll come back to it later on in the session. Rahash libi davar tov. My heart, I'm going to try and let Dr. Shama help us. My heart is astir, I think you'll see there, with a very good thing.
Gracious word.
Right. Davar tov, a good thing. I have something very, very, very good to say. Omer ani ma'asai lemelech. I'm going to say over my ma'asai, you translate it here as a poem, if I'm not mistaken.
My poem
to the king. Lishoni et sofer mahir. My tongue is the pen of an expert scribe. Very strange words. I'm going to say, you seldomly see introductions where the Navi tells you, you know, the narrator says, I'm going to tell you something now. I have a very good thing to tell you. I'm going to tell you a poem about a king, and my tongue is going to be the pen of an expert scribe. In other words, I'm going to do it to the best there is. I'm going to speak now as good as it can be spoken, as an expert. Et sofer mahir. Not sharp, no, more that I'm going to write, I'm going to speak this poem out now in the most beautiful, gracious, I'm going to speak to the king now. I'm going to write a poem to him. And when I do it, it's going to be the best. And
himself.
Yeah. Right, he's telling you, it's a little strange, you're right. I'm going to do it like an expert. And he says, my tongue, when I speak, it's going to be like the pen of the professional. It's going to be the best there is. It's ofir mahir. Yofiafita mibnir adam. He starts talking now to the king. Yofiafita mibnir adam. You are more beautiful, you are fairer than all men. Hutzak hen besiftotecha. Go ahead, Morris. You can
Your
go fast.
Speech is endowed with grace.
Al ken berachicha Elohim le'olam.
Rightly has God given you an eternal blessing.
Okay, let's repeat it just fast. You are fairer than all men. Graciousness pours from your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Hagor harbecha al yarech. Gird your sword on your thigh. Gibor, you mighty one. Hodecha v'hadarecha.
In your splendor and glory.
In your splendor and in your glory, gird your sword on your thigh, mighty one.
Your sword is right.
V'hadarecha, and now he's making the play on, you see the word v'hadarecha, over here it's v'hadarcha, which they translate as
in your glory.
In your glory, tzlach, have success. Rechav al devar emet, ride on truth. Ve'anva sedek,
and meekness and right.
Ve'torecha noraot yeminecha, and your right hand will lead you to awesome things. Hitzecha shenunim, your arrows are sharp. Amim tahtecha yipilu, nations will fall before you. Bileb oibeh hamelech, in the heart of the enemy of the king. This is one of those verses that is written to be, it's meant to be reversed in order to understand it. Your sharp arrows will go into the heart of your enemies, and people will fall before under you. Amim tahtecha yipilu. So if you read it in the English, I'm sure they did that.
It's opposite. Your arrows sharpened pierce the breast of the king's enemies. People fall at your feet.
Exactly. So in Hebrew, one more time. Hatzecha shenunim, amim tatecha yepilu, bileb oibeh hamelech. Kis'acha Elohim olam va'ed. Your throne is godlike. It is eternal. Kis'acha Elohim, if you'll translate it in there.
Your divine throne is everlasting.
See, he says your divine throne. Your divine throne is everlasting. The way it's written in Hebrew is a little bit difficult. Kis'acha Elohim is not the way you'd say your divine throne. Kis'acha Elohim, literally translated, sounds like Kis'acha, your throne, Elohim, God, le'olam va'ed. I'm sorry, olam va'ed is eternal. The words throw you off a little bit here because it sounds like you get the feeling that he's not speaking to the king anymore for a moment. Kis'acha Elohim olam va'ed. Shevet mishor, shevet malchutecha. Go ahead.
Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity.
Right. Shevet Mishor, your scepter of is a scepter of equity. Shevet Malchutecha is the scepter of your royalty. Ahabta Tzedek, you love righteousness. V'tesna Resha, you hate evil. Al Ken Mishahacha Elohim Elohecha Shemen Sason Mahaverecha. Therefore, did
rightly has God, your God, chosen to anoint you with oil of gladness over all your peers.
It is, it's right, it's good that he did that. It's correct that he has given you this oil of gladness over your friends. In other words, you're deserving of it. Mor ve'aholot kisiot kol big ve'aholot kisiot kol bigdotecha.
All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes.
That's more is myrrh and ahalot is aloe and kitziot is
cassia.
All his clothes are fragrant with these wonderful fragrances, spices. Min hechleshen mini semehucha. From palaces of ivory, mini semehucha, the stringed instruments make you glad. In other words, there's music playing in your ivory palaces, and it makes you happy. Benot melachim bikerotecha. The daughters of kings are precious to you. Neseva shegal leminecha bechetem ofir. The consort stands to your right in the gold of Ophir.
Decked
in the gold of Ophir. She stands there, this absolutely beautiful woman that's precious to the king. She stands to his right, decked in these beautiful clothes and in the gold of Ophir.
Isn't that a dangerous thing to reply to God that he has a consort?
We're talking to the king now.
The king
we're talking to is the human king here right now. We're talking to the king, the king. He says, I'm going to say my poem to the king. We're not talking to God. Certainly not. Certainly not. Certainly you can't say that. You don't talk like that. Benot melachim bikorotecha. The daughters of kings are precious to you.
The second half of the pasuk is a single woman,
but
the first half of the pasuk is a harem.
Benot melachim. The daughters of kings, the daughters of kings are precious to you. He has a harem of princesses, daughters of kings, right? The princesses, he has a whole group. He's certainly no longer even contemplating talking to God. Shem'ibat, listen. Sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we are only talking about a human king here. If anybody here is trying to sort of squeeze into this, what we've set up till now, that this is a praise of the prophet to God in some way, you're just completely off base. There's no chance at all that that's what's happening over here. Maybe in the very beginning, for a moment, you wanted to sort of feel that that's what's happening in these praises that are so gracious. God is the one who Alken Birachel, and God, therefore, in if you'll take a look at verse, where is it? Verse, going back to verse 3. Graciousness pours from your mouth. Therefore, God blessed you forever. I mean, he's being told God blessed him. He's being told how he's a righteous person, how he has a scepter of equity. And therefore, God anointed you the oil of gladness over your friends. God is the one who appointed you. In other words, you know when you became king and you got anointed, this happy state, you got it because you deserve it, right? It was correct that you were chosen. So he's speaking. Now he switches.
He's speaking to God for a
second. Listen. Gentlemen, this. One second. Listen, just give me a minute. The question that you're asking is a very valid question. We'll come to it in a minute. Know that, I'm sorry, your name is?
Harvey Gornish.
Harvey's question, Mr. Gornish's question is very striking. What he's bothered by is the fact that when we read the translation just now, it said your throne is godlike, but he in fact is familiar with Hebrew. and he knows that the translation isn't exactly reflecting what was said. It says, Kis'acha Elohim Olam Va'ed. And he knows Hebrew. And he says, when you read the Peshat, it sounds like to him, because he's, I assume you're familiar with Hebrew because you're saying this because you're correct. It says, your throne, God, is eternal. You say that to God. Your throne, you don't say that to people. And in fact, we'll come back to this, but please, since we want to finish the Mizmor first, let's leave the question hanging for a minute.
Is it possible to read that? He said, your throne, King, Elohim la'olam ba'ed, God gives it to you forever.
It's also nice. It's as nice as the new JPS attempt at making it work. But it's not the Peshat. What Mr. Gornish's problem is simple. That's not what it says. It says otherwise. You have to squeeze it in. That's the point. Anything where you're squeezing it in, it becomes midrashic. He's not willing right now. We aren't. I said we were going to learn this mizmor by the Peshat, by the straight, forward, open meaning of the text, and we were not. Yes, of course. You see that he says that Elohim is used like that. Yes, and therefore I'm saying he sees... No, but
it can mean non-God. It could still have
It could. I'm only saying that your question is a valid question, and we're sort of torn. I should make it clear to everybody in the room that the reason I'm allowing this discussion, the rabbi too, the reason I'm allowing the discussion to continue is because it should disturb you, and it should bother you, and it should stand out, and he caught it well. What is going on? I just now started talking about someone who the daughters of kings are precious to you. And this beautiful woman is standing on his right side, decked in the gold of Ophir. And it sounds to him, that's why he got so disturbed and asked the question, like we're talking about Hollywood and the most beautiful woman with gorgeous clothes and gold and so on and so forth. And he sort of said, one second, what happened over here? Can't talk to God like that. And so on and so forth. Let's hold off. It didn't. I said that that's what he saw when he saw a beautiful woman standing to the right of the king, decked in gold. Right, Shigal, she stands to your right, decked in gold, implies something that's not godlike. That's what I'm saying. Shem'ibat, listen, my daughter, Uri, and see, v'hati oznech, and incline your ear. Look, hear, listen. And my daughter, and see, and again, hati oznech, listen carefully, in other words, v'shichhi amech, forget your people, ubet abich, and your father's household. Forget them, v'it av hamelech yofyech, and the king will lust after your beauty, ki hu adonaich, because he is your master, v'hishtahavilo, and bow down to him. Certainly now, you even get a little more disturbed when you said, why was I giving him the point about the beautiful woman? It's because I was anticipating the next verse. So now you know. In any event, we are now no longer talking that the king, our king, who's being spoken to, a Jewish king, our human king, is now being told one of these girls, Bat, Shib'i Bat, she's a young woman, very young woman, who's coming in now she's a non-Jewish woman, forget your people and forget your household. You don't say forget your people to a nice Jewish girl from Borough Park. You say that to someone who comes from a foreign nation. So forget them. V'yit'av hamelech, and the king will lust v'yit'av. I don't know how you translate it in there, Morris, but Dr.
And let
Shannon.
The king be aroused by your beauty.
Oh, even worse. V'yit'av hamelech yofyech. And then let the king be, well, let's stay with lust after. V'yit'av, desire very much. Let's leave it like that for now. But I like that anyway. Kihu Adonaiich, because he's your master, v'shtahavilo, and bow down to him. Ubat Tzor, a new daughter of Tzor, in case we have any doubt as to whether we're talking to a non-Jewish girl, we are now talking about a Lebanese girl, right? Ubat Tzor, a new daughter of Tzor, means coming, for those of you not familiar from the north, Lebanon, that's the Phoenician king, right? Tzor is, she is, her father is, in other words, the king of Tzor. He was the king who you're probably, a lot of you in the room are familiar with. is the king that made alliances with Shlomo, and the Phoenicians were the people, you know, from, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Tanakh, but you know from school, they're the ones who are the famous boat builders, and they're the ones who travel, their ships are the famous ships that travel and make these extremely long voyages and so on and so forth. Batsor, and you, daughter of Tsor, b'mencha panayich yehalu ashirei am. Do you know that the rich people will come and offer you gifts? What does it say?
The wealthiest people will court your favor with gifts.
You're now going to become a princess in the harem of the king. And you should know, daughter of Tsor, do you know rich people are going to all come? You're a princess here in our land. And they're going to come and bring you gifts to, you know, court you and make you feel wonderful. They're going to bring you gold and jewelry and presents and all kinds of nice things. All the wealthy people, the very rich people are going to do that. Ashirei am. Kol kibuda bat melech penima. You could translate that now.
Goods
I'm not touching
of
it.
All sorts.
Kol kibuda, all kibuda. From the word kabod, kibuda, her. So they call it goods of all sorts, right? It means all that she has, right? Bat melech, the daughter of the king, this princess, penima. Right? Go ahead. It's all right. It's hard.
Dress embroidered with golden mountings is led inside to the king.
Right. So therefore, penima means she takes it inside to the king. Mimishbisot zahav lebusha. And she's dressed, right, in
golden mountains.
Golden mountains. It means that that's the imagery of this princess who's now going in this gorgeous dress that has beautiful golden embroidery on it. And when it says kol kibuda, all of all of her kol kibuda means all that she has. In other words, all of her glory. She comes in dressed to kill with all of her a better word. Rabbi, maybe you'll help me with dressed to kill. She's all ready. Kol kibuda. She's got it all together. All her glory. She's her hair, her makeup, her clothes, her everything about her is absolutely magnificent. And her dress is she's decked in gold. Yeah, I'll read it. Okay. Well, that's sort of hot. What's that? Lirkamot tubal lamelech betulot ahareha reoteha mubaot lach. You can translate the whole verse now.
All right. We're going from 14:8. Goods of all sorts, period. The royal princess, her dress embroidered with golden mountings.
Go ahead. That's all right.
Comma, is led inside to the king. Maidens in her train, her companions.
Betulot ahareha, maidens in her train.
Her companions are presented to you.
Reoteha mubaot lach. So she comes in, it gives a more of a feeling. Since you all have been to the movies, most of you in this room probably, you know what that scene looks like. She's being let in. She's all decked out in her gold and her finery. She's beautiful. She's the princess from Phoenicia. She has her maidens all flittering about, you know, to her left and to her right. Because remember, she is a princess. She's coming. It might be. It might be because she's coming in with a tremendous amount of assistance there. All her friends, all the people, all the maidens are there.
The horns.
Huh?
The horns
there. The trumpets are blasting, right? Okay. Tubalna bismachot vagil.
They are led in with joy and gladness.
They come in to the king now with joy and gladness. Tibu'ena behechal melech. They are brought in to the hechal, to the palace of the king. So that's that scene of the entry into the hechal of the king. Tahat abotecha yehyu banecha. Your children will be in place of your fathers. In other words, they will carry forward. Tishitemo lesarim bechol haaretz. You will make them, you will place them as princes in all of the land. Askira shemcha bechol dor vador. I will recall your name through all, in every generation. Al ken amim yehoducha leolam va'ed. Therefore, people will, the nations will give thanks to you forever. That's the end of the mizmor. So, this is Maud. I'm sure you're all asking this question now. You started it right away, and you see what's happening here. The king is being praised about how he's the fairest of them all. It sort of reminds us today, like, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? The opening words of the Mizmor, if you go back to verse 3, after he says, I'm going to tell you, make a praise to the king that is the most expert one, and we're going to do it like a professional, like you can't believe, like an expert writer. His first words are, Yofiafita mibnei adam. You are the fairest of them all. You are beautiful. Yofiafita, the word is a little strange, a little out of context. If you look carefully to use in reference, it's, what'd you say? It's feminine, exactly.
No, Yofita.
No. He means to say the word. In English, for example, you don't say it's effeminate. That's what he means. You don't say to a man, you're pretty. You say to a man, you're handsome. You're gibor. You don't say you're very pretty. You're beautiful. You don't say it that way. Yofiafita is a Hebrew word which even exaggerates the... Yeah, but you don't have Yofiafita. You're the fairest of them all. His first words are, you're the most beautiful guy that there is in the world. You're the most handsome. Not handsome. I can't say that. You're the most beautiful of all people. You know, your lips pour with graciousness when you speak. It's just like, oh, it's fantastic. And then we have this, this all of a sudden from left field, words to him about, in the middle of this mizmor, saying that right on truth and righteousness and your right hand will lead you to awesome things. And then we have him being told how he's a mighty, his arrows are sharp. People fall under him when those arrows fall into the hearts of his enemy. He's fantastic. His throne, the problem, is godlike. Your throne is like, it's like, you know, I want to tell you, I don't want to disturb you, but in the... Let's get you a little water.
It's right here.
Oh, great. Sorry, I have a cold and my mouth is dry. In the ancient world, kings were thought of, I don't know if you're aware of it, as divine. The kings used to put themselves forth as gods. You probably know that from when you were a kid, when you heard about Paro and the famous Midrashim about Paro, and the people thought he was a god, and he would put himself forth that way, and that's common. So it's a little disturbing to know that here we are in Tehillim, and we're getting someone who's being spoken to with the, we don't consider ourselves part of that type of, we don't use that terminology. We save that for God. And over here, his throne is godlike, and then it, right after it's, and therefore, and but by the way, better than that, God, you love righteousness, you hate evil, therefore God has anointed you the oil of gladness over your friends. You're deserving of it. You're deserving of it because you're
handsome. Yeah.
Yeah.
God blesses him just for his.
We would want this verse to open up and say, you're righteous, and therefore God chose you. That's the way we think about it. Over here it says, you're beautiful. You speak unbelievable. You're a mighty warrior. And you love righteousness. And your throne is godlike. You're like divine. Therefore God chose you. It's so out of whack to what we're used to hearing, out of the normal way we would hear all of Tehillim, all of Tanakh, and any kind of time that the Navi would express anything about a human being. But here's what becomes extremely disturbing, where you really went off the deep end. And you helped me a lot tonight when you did it. You went like this. One second. He's talking now to the princesses, and he tells them, Benod Marachim, you know, king's daughters, foreign, non-Jewish girls, princesses, are precious to you. Bikirotecha, from the word yakar, they're really precious to you. She stands to your right, your consort, with the gold of Ophir. That's really, really bothered you. And then he starts talking to the girl. Shem'i bat. All of a sudden, it sort of takes a left field. He's talking to the king, and he's letting the king hear how he talks to the girl about him to really make him feel good. Like he's letting, remember, this is being said to the king. The king is being told, you know what we tell the girls in your harem? This is what we tell them. I'm filling that in, folks. Right? You know, you're supposed to realize when he says Shem Ibat, he says, I'm now talking to the king. This is a praise to a king. And all of a sudden, he starts talking to this girl. And then when he speaks to her, listen what he lets the king say about him. Listen, O daughter, and see, incline. In other words, you should really understand this well. Forget your people. Forget your father's house. The king is going to, I like that one, be aroused by you. He's going to be lustful after you because you're beautiful. He's your master. Bow down to him. You daughter of Phoenicia, Sor. They're going to bring you gifts. The rich people, the very wealthy people of the world are going to bring you gifts. And when you're going to go in all your glory, inside, in your clothes, embroidered in gold, and you're going to be led to the king with your maidens and your friends, it's going to be spectacular. To Balna Bismahot Vagil, you're going to be led in with joy and happiness when you're brought to the Hechal Melech, to the palace of the king. The word Hechal could also be somewhat disturbing. Tata Wotecha, closing words. After he finishes hearing how she's his one of the girls in the harem are going to be one of these foreign girls are going to be in the harem be spoken to, and he said, "In place of your fathers, your children will come. They will be placed as princes. You will place them as officers, princes over the land, and I will remember your name, Becholdor Vador. Therefore, people will give thanks to you." What I want to tell you,
Avoteka refers to the women.
No. I said now he's going back to him and he's telling him that statement. Okay? So we took about a half hour to do this. We only have really a short time to cover a lot of material. Please bear with me, and I'm going to try my best to show you when we spoke about sequence, how in fact the disturbing things that are going on in this mizmor are disturbing, are meant to be disturbing. And when we attempt to fit in, my opinion now. They're disturbing because, well, listen, we don't have our prophets talk to us like that. We don't go out with non-Jewish women. We don't allow our kings to do that. We look down upon it. We don't praise beauty and look. Nothing wrong with being beautiful. Nothing wrong with being rich. But we don't go and say that to the girl. We say, we say those are not where life is at. So, I mean, it's so against everything that we stand for. It's against what we teach our children. It's against what we certainly don't expect to hear a holy man, a Navi, speak to this girl talking about how the king desires her. We certainly are enraged by that. That bothers us to no end. On top of everything, we have to have money being spoken of. The rich people are going to bring you gifts. And what about the poor people? They don't count? The rich people are going to bring you gifts. How about the people who are going to bring you gifts because they love you? How about anything nice in here? How about something pleasant here? Who says she has to be beautiful? And people who aren't, when I said Hollywood, I meant Hollywood because it sounds just like that. It sounds like, you know, that sounds like the picture that you think of in Hollywood. Well, who says Hollywood is where it's all at? We tell our children that Hollywood is not good for them. We tell them that the picture that Hollywood puts down is a negative picture. We don't want them to think of harems. We don't like polygamy anymore. We look down upon polygamy. We don't think it's good. We have a halakha in the Torah that says, what? Lo yarbe lo nashim. And susim. And everything lo yarbe. He shouldn't have a lot of everything. We look, the Torah, specifically God in the Torah says, we look down upon all of that. We want our king to be a modest king. A king who cares about his people. A king who loves to help the poor, the underprivileged, the weak, the sick, the old, the infirmed. That's what we look at our king for. We don't look at our king and talk about how it's fantastic that he has Hollywood girls. And we don't describe Hollywood girls. We certainly don't do that. Over here we had the exact, you know what we had? Lishoni et sofer mehir. My tongue will speak the exact story of the most fantastic praise. But if you're going to do it, Why are you teaching my children this thing? I don't want to teach this to my children. And in fact, we chose this mizmor to give you a mizmor that no one teaches it, and everybody stays off this mizmor and says, we don't know what to do. And the Bible commentators, hold off on Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim we're not going to deal with today because Shir HaShirim is a completely different approach to a love story and where it's coming from and how it's put forth. And don't forget that there were plenty of problems that they had. Here, the problems are bigger, much, much bigger, and coming from a different place. So, let's hold off on the Shir HaShirim, only because the hour is late, I'm sorry. Only say, for the purposes quickly, to tell you that it's a very, it comes from a different place, it speaks in a different way, and doesn't come forth the way this does in such a almost, almost crass. It's almost embarrassing. No, it's not almost, it is embarrassing. It is. We don't like it. It sounds like? Yeah, it sounds like that. Exactly. So we're talking to this girl, and we certainly don't want our kids to hear about non-Jewish girls, and we don't want to hear about this beauty, and we don't want to hear about riches, et cetera, et cetera. Is that well said, Rabbi, for now? Or you want me to, I mean, we could elaborate on that point in a normal class.
There are certain phrases that are reserved for God, for the king.
That's your question. How dare you? What do you mean, Kisachai Elohim Olam Va'ed? You talk to God that way. That's why you got so bothered. What do you mean you talk like that? Don't talk to him like that. Tell him, listen, your throne, you know, long live the king. Tell him that, like the whole world does. Yehi HaMelech Le'olam Va'ed. Okay, thank you very much. Yehi HaMelech, the king, long live the king. But don't come to me and talk to me and speak words which have divinity involved in it, where I don't know which way it is. You know, whenever the writer, whenever the writer leaves someone something ambiguous, like you pick it up, it's ambiguous on purpose, because he could have written it so easy. He could have very easily left this one that is, your throne is godlike. He didn't have to leave it, Kis'acha Elohim. He didn't have to leave it. So you know what some commentators will say, mistake. It's missing a letter, it's missing a word. We think that the text is right intact. We now want to try and show you, very quickly.
Why can't it be going between different people?
Yeah.
Describing different situations. And it seems to be doing that to me. Especially at the end. When it says, it doesn't seem to be addressing one type of person only.
It's talking to the king.
No, not prosecute chat.
Yeah, sure. He's telling the king, in closing, we are going, your name will be always mentioned. In other words, that's a long live the king statement. Askira, but it's a long live the king statement that has innuendos of, like, it sounds like you're talking to God almost. Askira shimcha le'olam va'ed yehoducha. Right? I know what Rashi says.
Oh, okay.
I know that. Let me explain something to you quickly, also, to answer your question about all of this. All of this is interpreted in an allegorical sense. We are not reading this allegorically. We're reading this now on the Peshat level. Please bear with me for a second. I'm going to say this and we'll drop it. This is disturbing if that's the case. When I have allegory, why do I have to have an allegory that's so right? Tell me a story, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? And then tell me it's allegory. Some people hold that the story never happened and that it's all a story about people in the world. Okay, but it's not a vulgar story. It's a wonderful story, and so on and so forth. So that's how I'll answer you very quickly. Now, what I want to tell you is this. We're going to give you handouts now. Morris, could you just get all those sheets over there? I need one myself. I made 50, so it should be, and you really need the handout. If there are more than 50 people in here, you must look in with someone. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. This is an extra piece of paper. Yeah, okay. You'll all take a look at these sheets, and what we're going to do right now, if you remember, I told you, and I'm really sorry, the right way you're supposed to do this in classes or in lecture series would be that at this moment, at this point in time, we would learn 46, learn 47, learn 48, learn 49. Take them one at a time and make the points that I'm about to show you. But for purposes of being brief, we only have about 45 minutes left. Bear with me, look at your sheets, and I'm going to try and show you how. It's very hard to do this in 45 minutes, folks. Please bear with me. Sometimes I'm going to read an entire mizmor straight through in 2 seconds, just so you hear it, and then we'll look at this. So bear with me. It's very hard. We, in fact, want to see, show you, how these coming Mizmorim speak in a way that is in complete contrast to the Mizmor that we just now saw. And in fact, the rest of the Mizmorim, this is what we mean by sequence, we'll deal with this Mizmor at length. And in the process of doing so, we'll make a point. Did you hear what I just said? It'll make a point. It'll deal with all the questions that we just now talked about through the coming 46, 47, 48, and 49. Exactly. Now, let's do like this. Take a look at 46. Morris, you're going to do some rapid reading now. Watch. Elohim lanu mahaseh va'oz ezra b'sarot nimsa me'od. Hashem is our refuge and strength. He is a help in time of trouble. Hold off on your sheets. Al ken lo nira b'hamir aretz u'motarim b'leb yam. Therefore, we won't be afraid from when the mountains shake and topple into the sea. Yehemu yehmeru me'mav yirashu harim b'gavetor. Nahar pelagav yisamehu ir Elohim kedosh v'shkeneh elyon. Elohim b'kirba bal temot. Ya'azireha Elohim lefnot bokir. Hamogoyim. Stop. At that point, he talked about the fact that Elohim, opening words of the Mizmor, Hashem, Elohim, lanu mahaseh, he is our refuge. He takes care of us in natural disasters. You know what that means? Hurricanes, volcanoes, floods, all kinds of, earthquakes, mountains toppling. You have that. In the next part of the Mizmor, Hamogoyim, matu mamlechot, natan bekalor, tamug aritz. Adonai Tzevaot Emmanu, Miskablanu Elohe Yaakov Selah. Hashem Tzevaot is with us. He is our haven, the God of Yaakov. You know this verse. You say it many times. Lechu, go see. Hazu Mif'alot Hashem. See the wonders of God. Hashem Sam Shemot Ba'aretz, that he made parts of the land, places in the land desolate. Meshbit Milhamot, he stops wars. Ad Kitzeh Aretz, to the ends of the earth. Keshet Yishaber, he breaks the bow, the kitzetz hanit, he snaps the spear, agalot yisrof ba'esh, he burns the chariots, the wagons in fire. Harfu ud'u, now God, Hashem talks, harfu ud'u, ki anochi Elohim.
Desist, realize that
stop.
I am God.
Realize I'm God. Arum bagoyim, arum ba'aretz, I will be exalted in the nations and in the land. This Mizmor, if you look at it, take a look. I think we'll find it in our sheets. Yeah. Take a look at your sheets where it says, Hagor Harbecha al Yarech Gibor. I'm sorry.
The fifth paragraph.
Yarech. Sorry. Gibor Hodecha. You know, I need what you call it here. It's very hard to read this without it. Let me get it out. We're reading now the line that says 45:4. So take a look. Go back to 45:4 and look at the verse. It says Hagor Harbecha al Yarech Gibor Hodecha Vehadarecha. That statement, gird your sword on your thigh, right? And 45:6, which follows it, which says Hesecha Shenunim, your arrows are sharp, amim tahtecha yipilu, nations will fall under you, beleb oybe hamelech, into the heart of the king. Take a look at 46, which we read just now, 10, which says, meshbit milhamot ad kitzeh haaretz, he is the one who stops wars to the ends of the land, keshet yishaber the kitzeh tzhanit, he breaks the bow, he breaks the spear. See the blue parts of your sheet. It says Amim Tahtecha Yipilu, and in 47:4 it says Yadber Amim Tahtenu, he will trample the nations under us, Ulumim Tat Raglenu, and the people under our feet. It almost is a direct quote from the mizmor that we just now read, and it makes a contrast. Yeah. What I did, we're going to do a lot of these. I only wanted to read one to get you started, to get in the flow. What you're going to see is that in the coming mizmorim, line by line, there will be a running commentary where God is the one who's being spoken to, and He is the one, Hashem, who is being attributed with the power to help us, save us, protect us, and be our king. The example was where in 45:6 you saw where it said, we read that the king's arrows are sharp, and amim tahtecha yepilu, and in hour 46:10, God is being told, we're saying to Hashem, you are the one who protects us. Elohim lanu mahaseh, you are our protector in natural disasters and in wars. You stop the wars. You break the bows. You snap the spears. And we just now finished talking one moment ago about the king whose sword and whose arrows are sharp and whose sword is glorious, and he is the mighty one. Now, take a look at 45, let's see, I have to skip these because you don't know 43, 44, let's go to, we're going to have to just read one more. Take a look at 45:18. The verse that you asked me about, your name will be recalled, 45:18. Sounds as if spoken to Hashem, similar to 45:7. You see that? In that one it says, Take a look at 44:9, even though you didn't learn it. And take a look at what it says at 44:9. You can open up your Tehillims and read it yourself. 44:9 says like this. I'll just give you a few verses before to give you a feel of how 44 goes. I'll read from verse 5. Ata hu melki. You are my king, Elohim. Tzeve Yeshuot Yaakov. Becha sarenu nenageah. Bishimcha nebus kemenu. Ki lo bekeshti iftah. I will not put my trust in my bow. Veharbi lo tashieni. And my sword will not save me. Ki hoshatanu misarenu umisanenu hebishota. Belohim, hilanu kol hayom v'shemcha l'olam node sela. So, that statement, Belohim, hilanu kol hayom v'shemcha l'olam node, that statement, if you look at it, it's who's being, what do we talk about in 45:18? We say, Askira Shemcha, bechol dor vador, al ken amim yoducha l'olam v'ed. You see the blue. Bechol dor vador is kol hayom. Shemcha is Shemcha. Le'olam va'ed is le'olam, and Yehoducha is noder. So you see that there's a counterpart to verse 45:18's closing words that you asked me about. Who is it speaking to? And you see, well, I say it's certainly talking to the king, one moment, and that one. And in this one, in 44, you have almost the duplicate verse. But who is it talking to? Clearly, over there, there's no question what 44 is saying. Because it says, you know, Hashem, I don't rely on my bow. I don't rely on my arrows. I don't rely on my sword. I rely on you. And then when he says the praise of 44 uses the exact expressions of 44:9. Belohim hilalnu kol hayom. V'shimcha leolam noder sela. Yeah. I want to try and give them about 5-6 examples so they can absorb it. This is hard for them first off. Atah Melki is the verse 5 statement in 44. Atah hu Melki. What does that mean? Danny. Atah hu Melki. You are my king. It's like it's sort of going out of its way to contrast to something. When you say those words, you go like this. Atah hu Melki. You are my king. As opposed to? A mortal person. It's literally a strong, strong statement. That you are my king. You are my king. Nobody else is my king. Not the person I'm going to talk about in the next verse, in the next mizmor.
in right before this mizmor, you have a mizmor that has a strange statement that you don't find commonly. It stands by itself, the verse. By the way, if you look, take a look at 5. Atahu melki Elohim tzevi yeshuot Yaakov. Stop. You are my king, not somebody else. And now we're going to read about how this king is being praised. So it stands in sharp contrast, Atahu melki, to the statements being made in 45. But now, I'd like to go on to another one. And this one is excellent. You all know you were supposed to read Mizmor 47. If you didn't, I'm going to read it in Hebrew fast because you all know it. We read it on Rosh Hashanah. It's a very famous one. Everybody clap your hands. Sing to God with a joyous voice. Ki Adonai Elyon Nora. Because Hashem is Elyon, awesome on high.
Great king over all the earth.
Right. Melech Gadol al kol ha'aretz. It's very strange. We just now finished talking about a praise to a king. And now we say, he's Melech Gadol al kol ha'aretz. He's the great king of all of the land. Yadber Amim Tahtenu. Remember what we told the other king? Hatzecha Shinonim Amim Tahtecha Yipilu. Listen to this statement. We just read it. I'm repeating it for you. Yadber Amim Tahtenu Ul Umim Tahat Raglenu. It's as if in this Mizmor, you just now, 1 second ago, read how he smashes the people under. His arrows go into the king. And now you read a thing that says, Melech Gadol al kol ha'aretz. You, Hashem, Elyon, are the king, the great king of all the land, and yet beramim tahtenu, ulumim tahat reglenu, contrasting to verse number 6.
We become the king when we make him our king.
Yibhar lanu et nahalatenu, et geon Yaakov asher yaheb sela. Allah Elohim bitru'ah. Who said the trumpets? Here are your trumpets. Allah Elohim bitru'ah. Adonai b'kol shofar. You know why I read it on Rosh Hashanah. Zameru Elohim Zameru. Zameru Lemelkenu Zameru. It's going out of its way to stress. Why? Ki Melech Kol Haaretz Elohim. Zameru Maskil. Strange word to say. Take note. Zameru Maskil. Saying that word Maskil could mean, you know, you have some superscriptures that are called Maskil superscriptures. And over here it's Zameru Maskil to our king. Malach Elohim Al Goyim. Elohim, watch this, folks. Elohim Yashav al Kiseh Kocho. You remember the verse that bothered you? I'll remind you the verse number. It's verse number 7. Kisacha Elohim Olam Ba'ed. And now it says, Malach Elohim al Goyim Elohim Yashav al Kiseh Kocho. That's the verse you were looking for. That's what you were hoping to read. And you thought you were reading that, but took a left turn, and you knew there was something wrong, where in fact, you got satisfied, mm-hmm. You just had to read another one or two mizmorim, and you see that it says, Elohim Yashav al Kiseh Kocho. Nedive Amim Ne'esafu, Am Elohim Abraham, Ki Elohim Agine Eretz Me'od Na'ala. So, let's see if we can just point out, if by giving you 47, I can point out, So take a look. He is king. The one that says he is king, there is no other. Mizmor of Rosh Hashanah. You see where it says 45:7. Kisacha Elohim Olam Va'ed. I just pointed it out to you. Shevet Mishor Shevet Malchutecha. Malach Elohim Al Goyim Elohim Yoshev Elohim Yashav Al Kiseh Kocho. So clearly these two are contrasting the one another. And the one that you just now read seems to imply that his throne is divine, but over here it's a flat, clear statement that leaves no question that Elohim Yashav al Kiseh Kodesho, God sits on his holy throne. Now, take a look also, this one, just follow me now. You see where it says the protectors of earth belong to Hashem, Hashem tells Abraham, Anochi Megin Lach. In 45:17, you read the words, Tahat Abotecha, at the end of the Mizmor. You see it, folks? Tahat Abotecha, Yubanecha, Tishitemu Lasarim, Mechol Aretz. In place of your fathers will be your children. You will place them as princes over all of the land. Take a look at 47:10. What does it say? Nidibe amim ne'esafu, am Elohe Abraham. The nobles all gather together. Ki l'Elohim magine eretz me'od na'ala. Because Hashem is the, to Hashem is the what? What's magine eretz?
The guardians of the earth.
He is the one who, what? Who owns the guardians of the earth. So this one is sort of recalling when it says, you see where it says, Am Elohe Abraham? Doesn't say Am Elohe. Right, it says Am Elohe Abraham. Because Abraham sets you in motion to thinking about he's the one who said, Anochi Magen Lach. To whom it is said, yeah. And therefore, Kilohim Magine Eretz, Hashem is the one who, what? He is the one who owns. They are his, the protectors of the earth. So all the nobles are coming together and they are standing in front of God because they have to answer to him. Not, as we read in the closing of 45, where the king is being told, your children will be in place of your fathers and you will place them as princes over the land. Flat statement, no God being involved in that. They will be the ones. They're the protectors. They're going to be controlling the land. No. The nobles in 47 are all coming together, and the nobles are standing in front of God, who is the protector of the world. They work for him, right? Now, take a look at 48. That's correct. That's correct. Right. 46, I just want you to see, by the way, a quick literary connection. In 45, the one that says, after sounds have spoken, there's another, the next paragraph starts at 45, 3, 8, 13, and 3. Do you see that, folks, on your sheets? 45, 3, 8, 13, and 3, I'm sorry, 40, right? And then 46, 3, right here on your sheets, right in the middle. Under the purple and blue, right? You see that?
Yeah.
You see the Alkans. In 45, you see the expression used three times. Alkan b'racha Elohim. Alkan m'sha'acha Elohim. Alkan amim yehoducha. And in 46, at the very opening, you know what it says? It says like this. Elohim lanu mahaseh ba'oz izra b'sarot nimsa me'od. He is Elohim. God is our, first words, right after 45, God is our Mahaseh, and what? Alken, we're not afraid. The Alken, sort of, may very well be brought down here to carry forth. You got all these things, Alken, 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 therefore, therefore, therefore. You know why we aren't afraid from the natural disasters? Right. Therefore, we're not afraid because you're Al Mahaseh. Again, it's making a contrast. We just were attributing all the Al Kins to why he these things happened to him. That's a possibility. But now,
Al Kin is not very frequent.
Right. It's 13 times in Tehillim. Al Kin, out of the 13 times that it occurs, you should know that it occurs when out within our context, maybe five or six of those times. So don't think therefore. You know, in English, when you say the word therefore, I'm glad the rabbi reminded me. You think when you say therefore, therefore comes out loads and loads of time in the English language, Al-Kan. But in fact, Al-Kan occurs very infrequently in Tehillim, and most of the Al-Kans, three there, one here, and a few more in our particular area. If you remind me, I'll pull out the sheet and I'll show. Oh, here it is. It's 45, 45, 3 and 45, 1 and 46, and 1 and 42. So 42, 45, and 46 contain a whole chunk of them. There's one more mizmor, Kof Yotet, the acrostic mizmor of the Aleph Bet with eight verses to each letter of the alphabet, right? The one we mentioned that has the symbolism of the Berit, and four of them occur there. So that's almost all of the occurrences are in two out of 150 mizmorim, our 42, 45, and for this concentrated area, and then 119, and you almost finished with every occurrence that there is. Therefore, we're seeing that the Navi, when he writes the word Al-Kan over here, it's not like in English, therefore, and it's being pointed out on purpose to make a contrast. The therefore is to you, our therefore is not that. Our therefore is because God is our protector. Elohim, Al-Kan, therefore, lo nira, we're not afraid. Okay, now, let's read 48. I want to get in all of this before the end. I recognize this is hard when we're going at such a fast pace.
Are you
really
going to explain why the 45
yeah.
is so...
Yes, 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 absolutely. Bear with me. Right now, so far, I showed you how 45 is talking. We're in 46 and in 47. 47 is stating that is the mizmor of the king. That is the mizmor. Zemiru lemelkenu, because he is our king. He is the one. 44 before it has that outstanding statement. 46 is saying God is the one who stops the wars and breaks the arrows and the bows and so on and so forth. Now comes 48, which you read every Monday. Second day of the week, right? Shir mizmor lebnei Korah. Gedol Adonai umuhlal me'od. You can translate for me.
The Lord is great and much acclaimed.
Be'ir Eloheinu.
In the city of our God.
Har Kotro.
His holy mountain.
Yefeh Nof.
Fair crested.
Mesos Kol Ha'aretz.
Joy of all the earth.
Har Tzion.
Mount Zion.
Yarkitet Tzafon.
Of Tzafon.
Kiryat Melech Rab.
City of the great king.
Okay. Right now, we're having the imagery of Har Tzion, Jerusalem, that it's has a beautiful north, a beautiful view. And it is the city, Kiryat Melech Rab, it is the city of the great king. So right away, again now, we have another one of these statements, and the strangest things happens with this one. You remember Yofyafita? You are the fairest of them all? Well, when we talk about Hashem, we don't say he's the fairest of them all. We say, you know what we say? Gadol Adonai mulal me'od be'ir Eloheinu har kotsho. And we say, yefeh nof. We use the word yefeh, but we contrast it to how we have to tell this human king that he's the fairest of them all with a statement of yefeh nof. Yeah, it's the play on it. What is beautiful? You know what's beautiful, Hashem? Hashem, you know what's beautiful? Your city is beautiful. It's gorgeous. Yarkitet Tzafon. You know what it is? It's the city of the great king. You. It's Kiryat Melech Rab. Elohim be'armonoteha noda lemisgav. Hashem in its palaces is known as the protector. Did we talk about citadels before? Do we remember where we said it? Does anybody remember? What? Right. We said it literally. Take a look at verse 9. Mor v'aholot kitziot kol bigdotecha. Your clothes are so fragrant. 45:9. Min hechle shin, from the palaces of ivory, the stringed instruments make you happy. And over here, we have the palace. What is God's palace called? Elohim be'armonoteha. God, our God, Elohim, is known in its palaces, but not he's known because his palaces are ivory palaces. He's noda as what? Lemisgab. He's known as our protector. Ki hineh ha'melachim noadu abru yahdav. Because the kings joined forces and came together. Advanced. Hamera'u. They saw Ken Tamahu, and they were amazed. They were stunned. Nibhalu. Terrified. Nehpazu. They panicked. Re'ada ahazatam sham. Trembling seized them there. Hil keyolida. They were in the like the pangs of a woman giving birth. Beruach kadim tishabir oniyot Tarshish. With an east wind, you break the boats of Tarshish. Right away, you know, of course, that the girl we were talking to, her father is the builder of the Oniyot Tarshish. He's the king of Sur. Remember that foreign girl, that Betsur. And now, Hashem is being told about how his city is beautiful. And he's known in it as our protector. That's what's so special. And when the great, and it's the city of the great king. and that when these kings come against it, they're terrorized because God is the one, Hashem is the one who is going to destroy them. And when we use the term Beruach Kadim Tishaber Aniyot Tarshish, with an east wind you just break the boats of Tarshish, we're talking about the most powerful ships that there were in the world. It's like saying in the ancient world, you just take a wind and you destroy all the aircraft carriers, the Titanic. All these massive ships, those are the ships, by the way, that traveled. You know how they traveled? They traveled all the way through the Mediterranean. They got out through the Straits of Gibraltar and go all the way, the Ivory Coast, so go all the way down. That's where Shlomo brought all his gold from. That's where he brought his gold. What did he bring his, what is it from? And what does she wear? Keter Ophir. Take a look. Take a look at 10. Benot Noachim Bikrotecha. The daughters of kings are precious to you. Nitzavah Shegal Minecha Beketem Ophir. She stands to your right in the gold of Ophir. So here is this girl who comes from Sor, whose father makes the Oniyot Tarshish, this powerful man, and now Hashem is being, in this mizmor we're describing how Hashem destroys these famous boats of Tarshish that her father made. Clearly, the contrast is standing right in front of your face on this one. Hashem is the one who, not only do we not look up to the Tarshish king, to the sword king, but on the contrary, Hashem, with an east wind, you just blow it away. Kasher shamanu ken ra'inu. Be'ir Adonai tzavot, be'ir Elohim, Eloheinu, Elohim yichoraneha ad olam tzila. Now, deminu Elohim hasdecha. You could translate that.
The likes of what we heard, we have now witnessed.
Right.
The city of the Lord of hosts.
Bekirib? No. Wait. Deminu Elohim hasdecha, bekirib hechalecha. You know what we think about in the midst, in the kirib hechalecha, in your hechal, Hashem? Joey, what do we think about? Hasdecha. Did we have anything that mentioned anything about Hechal?
Yeah.
What does she think about in the Hechal? Do you remember what it said? Right. What does it say? It says, Tubalna bismachot vegil. Take a look at Pasuk Ted Zayin. Tubalna bismachot vegil tebuina behechal melech. She's brought in, and you know, when you're reading that verse, when she's being brought into the Hechal Melech, you know what's on her mind. Nothing really bad. It's just the way it's being said, right? Whereas when our king, Deminu Elohim Hasdecha, Bekereb Hechalecha, it's exactly contrasting. When we're in your Hechal, you know what we think about Hashem? Your Hesed, how you take care of us, how you watch over us. Kishimcha Elohim Ken Tehilatcha. You remember somebody's right hand being mentioned in 45? Anybody? Nobody. That's right. The queen stands to his right. But there was a better one. Go back. Yes, you got it. You see it there? It's a what? That's one. Now go back to verse 5 in 45. That's correct. You know what will lead your right hand, v'torecha nora'ot yiminecha. Your right hand will lead you to awesome things. And what does it say in this one? Tzedek mele'a yiminecha. Your right hand is filled with righteousness, not nora'ot. Not your right hand will lead you to awesome things. You see, folks, this one is like, it's like, it's like a blinking light in your face. Torecha, you didn't catch it. You caught the Joey, you saw the Shegal standing in Echa. But the other one is more outstanding because it says, your right hand, Torecha, Noraot, Yiminecha. Your right hand is going to lead you towards the thing. And then you say, no. You know what's in your right hand? Sedek Malea Yiminecha. You know what your hands are filled with? Your right hand is filled with justice, righteousness, kindness, not swords. Right? It's so outstanding. Yismah Har Tzion, watch this now, it goes rapid fire. Yismach Har Tzion, Tagilna Benot Yehuda. Lema'an Mishpatecha. Who knows where it's from? Let's see if anybody got the feel. Which verse? Right. Take a look at verse Tetzain. To Balma, what happens with the girl, the bat sword, the princess, when she's being brought into the king? She's brought in Bismahot Vagil Tibuena Behechal Melech. She's brought in Simha and Gil when she comes into the Hechal Melech, to the Hechal of the king. And how do our girls in Israel act? Yismah Har Tzion. Tagilna Benot Yehuda. You know how the Benot Yehuda are happy? Leman Mishpatecha. You love it, huh? I see a guy over there going like this. I can't believe it. Isn't it unbelievable? It's really outstanding. I'm telling you, it's spectacular. It's talking about Benot Yehuda. The other one is talking about Tzor. She's coming there and she's being described with her finery and her gold and her beauty and her jewelry and her Hollywood look. And what are the Benot Yehuda doing? They're joyous. Leman Mishpatecha. You know why they're dancing, the girls, our girls dancing the street? Because of your justice. Because there's equity in the land. And because you bring the equity, because you are our king. It's almost, for me, folks, when I tell you this at this stage, because I want to rush now, it's like it's blatant now. You understand? The Benot Yehuda, you're not just lucky talking about Benot Yehuda with the same words we just had. It's contrasting them, clearly. Yeah, how do you know that? Because Leman Mishpatecha, right? Right? That's correct. Finish it off with Sobu Sion Bahakifu Sifru Migdaleha, Shitu Lebechem Lehila, Pasguar Monoteha, Leman Tisapru, Ledora Haron. You hear that? Well, you can translate it quick. You dial it. Put your take note.
Its ramparts, go through its citadels, that you may recount it to a future age. For God.
Wait. Kize Elohim Eloheinu.
He is our God forever.
Olam va'ed. Hu yinahagenu almut.
He will lead us evermore.
Almut, they translate as evermore. Now, listen. I want to, folks, this time I'm not going to let the rabbi say we didn't get it all in, so we're going to go fast. There's so much to say, but I know that after I see around the room now, we finally broke through the ice here, and you're seeing how spectacular this is. So here's what I want to do. Follow me. I want to take it all the way to the end fast, so you get it to the end, and then we'll come back and try and review. Yeah, I know. Okay, I'll show it to them. Go ahead. Okay. All right. Take a look, and your sheets... let me see where it is on your sheets because I pointed it out to you. 48, one second. Yeah, 48, I'm trying to find it myself. I wrote it. Oh, on the front, that's why I can't find it. Okay. Okay, there it is. Take a look. No, that's not the one that I want to... No, that's not the one. No. One second, I know. Wait, maybe I didn't have it here. One second. I left it out. Okay, it's not in here. Listen. What the rabbi is pointing out is that you see that the words Olam Va'ed, right? He's Ledora Haron and Olam Va'ed, is reminiscent of Askira Shemcha Bechol Dor Vador Al Kem Amim Yehoducha Leolam Va'ed. I mean, it's like it's standing right in front of your face. But with this mizmor is closing off with the statement of Kize Elohim Aleinu Olam Va'ed. He is our God Olam Va'ed. And the other one says Al Kem Amim Yehoducha Leolam Va'ed. And the Dora Haron is reminiscent of Lemati Sabru. The Dora Haron is reminiscent of. So it's like blinking lights to you. But now I want to continue all the way to the end and come back. We'll do it fast. By the way, I have to point this out. I can't help it. Take a look at the last verse, Tet Vav. You see where it says, Hu yinahagenu almut? Listen to me. Almut. Right. Joey Musseri just now said, you know something? Take a look at 46, which is the first words of the superscripture that started subsequent to the mizmor of praising the king. The superscripture says, Lem naseach lebnei Korach al alamot shir. Which, if you just take the word alamot and put a hyphen in between it, it becomes almut. So it's almost like 45 and 46 and 40, I'm sorry, 46 and 47 and 48 were enclosed in this alamot, almut side. Something like, if you remember, we said sometimes superscriptures can indicate things to you. Well, over there you have alamot. First words of the Mizmor that's going to make it very clear what we think of God as our King. And 48, where we just now finished talking about his beautiful city and the daughters and the contrast, and we say, he will lead you al-mut, which is translated in these books, al-mut, as
evermore.
As evermore. It could almost mean... What does mut mean?
Until death.
It could mean until death. Therefore, it means forever and ever. But the word al-mut, to say forever and ever, you could say, right, why use the word al-mut and why use the word al-mut? Right? Well, you know what happens? The strangest thing. The next mizmor that we're going to read, the very next words, is the mizmor that you read, the custom, in the house of the mourner. And it's the one you read when someone dies. And you're there in the mourning house. Very strange that it ends up, Hu yinahagenu al-mut. No, not until death. I only meant to say it means forever, but it uses an expression forever that has the word death in it. Right. It means on. I understand. I am total agreement with you.
It says also, and you're talking about this king who is not like a Jewish king.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It says, Le'olam va'ed.
Right.
There's a contrast over there. I'm not sure what he's getting at.
I'm not disagreeing with you that he is forevermore. He is eternal. God is eternal. Right?
No, I'm not getting back to what I was saying before.
Right.
I'm just saying that when we're talking, when the Nazi is talking about this king, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
He's saying he's a king.
We don't think
of
all
the king.
He's a human king.
He's a human king.
Okay.
All right. Kings are like this, folks. This is what kings are. The rabbi is right. I don't blame you for saying the word vulgar, because it's vulgar, but it's the reality of what a king is. His ivory palaces, his beautiful wives, his army, his strength, his glory, his ego, his alliances, and so on and so forth. So that is the case. Yeah, you're saying long live the king. It's a way of saying long live the king, but the words that are used for long live the king are words which are ambiguous and which leave us open to looking at the flip side of Hashem being the one who is eternal. I only wanted to say about Almut, folks, I only want to say Almut in the sense of that the word that's used, Rabbi, I only wanted to say that the word almut is a word that's used. That's all. And I furthermore want to say, wait. I want to say that the word almut, being used for eternal, right, has in it the word mut. That's all I'm saying. Both words. Alamut, almut, it's a play, it's an envelope, and the very next mizmor is going to talk about death. So, you could tell me it's accidental, but I sense that the Navi is doing it on purpose, this envelope. Now watch. Shemu zot kol ha'amim hazinu kol yoshvei ha'alid. Please pay very careful attention to this now. Listen, he is saying pay careful attention. Listen to this, kol ha'amim, all the nations. Hazinu kol yoshvei ha'alid. Incline your ear, all you inhabitants of earth. Gam b'nei Adam, Gam b'nei ish, yahad ashir ve'ebyon. All the human race, rich and poor. Pi yedaber chokhmot, my mouth will now speak wisdom. V'hagut lebi tibunot. And the meditations of my
heart. My speech is full of insight.
And my speech is full of insight. At what? Right. Could it be Hagud Labi Tubunot, meaning like they used to say, the meditations of my heart, understanding? Yeah, these are expressed. Yeah.
Utterance of my heart is the footnote.
Right. Utterance of my heart, yeah. That's exactly right, A.B. It's my son-in-law. It's very good. That's exactly right. In the other one, in the first, in 45, we had the strangest thing where the Navi is telling you, I am going to give you the ultimate, the best, the most professional story you ever heard about a king. And now he says, listen, all inhabitants of earth, rich and poor alike, my mouth is going to speak wisdom and utter. Right. Then, wait, I tell him, Ashal Uzni, I will incline my ear to parable. Iftah b'chinor hidati. I will open up with the kinor, the harp, with riddles. He says to you, I'm going to speak now a very, very, listen carefully, and it's going to be very special, wise, deep, and I'm going to speak in parables and riddles. It's the most amazing thing. It's another preface to another thing. The other one was, I'm going to give you the best story you ever heard about the king. And now, A.B., you're right. I'm going to give you a very important statement. Watch it carefully, but I'm going to speak with riddles. I'm going to say things now. I'm going to make what's the other word? Not riddles. Parables and riddles. You know riddles. You give a guy a riddle. What does this mean? You sit there and you try and figure it out. Parables is what does the story mean? Riddles, it's very strange. So, in fact, A.B., you're right. He is contrasting it. And he's telling you, now I'm going to give you the insight. Now I'm going to give you the insight that started.
What?
You're going to have to read. You're going to have to read in between the lines now. And he's saying it to you. It's the most amazing thing. He's saying, you understand now, read in between the lines. Figure it out. I'm going to say things when you're going to go, what? So let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if what we've discovered in sequence will help us. And it goes like this. We're going to read very fast now. Lema ira bimera avon akibai yusubeni.
In time of trouble, why should I fear the encompassing evil of those who would supplant me?
Habotim al helam ubrob osram yitalalu.
Men who trust in their riches, who glory in their great wealth.
Remember, we talked about rich people. Ah, lo fador yifteh ish.
Ah, it cannot redeem a man.
Lo yiten l'Elohim kofro.
Or pay his ransom to God.
You can't pay your ransom to God with that money. Ve'ekar pidyon nafsham ve'hadal le'olam.
The price of life is too high, and so one ceases to be forever.
Danny, what's ve'ekar? A play on? Vikar means it's too precious. It's too precious to pay, right? Where is it? What is the play on? What's precious to the king, everybody? What does it say? Give me the Hebrew words. Benot melachim bikerotecha. The daughters of kings are precious to you. So this is one of those in between the lines. You hear what he says? You know what's precious to him? The daughters of kings. And you know what it says over here? Vikar pidyon nefsham. It's too precious to redeem their lives. They can't do it. Too precious.
Shall he live eternally and never see the grave?
But
one sees that the wise die, that the foolish and ignorant both perish.
Wait.
Leaving their wealth to others.
See, these people, they all amass these riches. And then they die and they leave it to someone else. Kirbam betemu.
Their grave is their eternal home.
You know those ivory palaces that he built? You know what those ivory palaces end up being after a certain amount of time? Nothing. His home ends up being 6 feet under. Right. Right. Leolam. Mishkanotam Lidor Vador.
The dwelling place for all generations.
Karubish Motam Ale Ademot.
Of those once famous on earth.
Those famous people on earth, now they're 6 feet under, they're dead. Forever. The Adam Bikar, like Bikirotechadini. The Adam Bikar Balyalin.
Man does not abide in honor.
Nimshal kebehemot nidmu.
He is like the beast that perished.
He just dies like everybody else. Zedarkam kiselamo.
Such is the fate of those who are self-confident.
Ba'harehem b'fihem yirsu.
The end of those pleased with their own talk.
Ketzon l'sh'ol shatumavit.
Sheep-like they head for Sha'ol.
Yir'em v'yirdu bam yisharim. Go ahead.
Wait, with death as their shepherd.
Right, that's right. V'yirdu bam yisharim l'boker v'tzuram l'balot she'ol mezebulo.
Upright shall rule over them at daybreak,
right,
and their form shall waste away in Sheol.
Ach Elohim yifder nafshi miyad Sheol ki kaheni.
But God will redeem my life from the clutches of Sheol, for he will take me.
Hear this? But me, when the Sheol time comes, you know who's going to save me from the Sheol?
Sure.
When he takes me? God.
Not the king.
Very strange words, by the way. This is one of the very, very few places, correct, Rabbi? Where you see even the slightest reference to something after life of some sort. Because he says, because God will be the one who will save me from the Sheol when he takes me. When he takes me. In other words, God is taking the person. It's the imagery of God taking him into another state. Correct? He's not afraid, in other words. Al tiraki ashir ish kir be kibod beto.
Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when his household goods increase.
Ki lo bemoto yikach hakol.
When he dies, he can take none of it along.
That's the famous one, you can't take it with you. Lo yered harav kibodo.
His goods cannot follow him down.
Ki nefsho behayav yibarech.
So he congratulates himself in his lifetime.
Ve'oducha ki tetib lach.
They must admit that you did well by yourself.
Tabor ador abotav.
No,
go ahead. Wait, no, we can't listen.
So he congratulates himself in his lifetime, saying, they must admit that you did well by yourself.
Correct. Tabor, go ahead.
Yet he must join the company of his
ancestors. Tabor ador abotav.
Ad never see daylight again.
Ad netzach lo yiru or. Adam bikar v'lo yabin.
Man does not understand honor.
Nimshal kebehemot nidmu.
He is like the beast that perished.
You see clearly over here, clearly. Now you see clearly, because we just spent an hour and a half working on this, that you see that 45 and 46 and 47 and 48 and 49 are all one sequence. Yes? It is, one second. It is. Wait, before you came, I said that 42, 43, and 42 through 49 are all connected all the way through. I even said that we feel that there's a lot more sequence going on all the way through. But in fact, we only wanted to present this to, in as short a time, you know, take as few mizmorim as possible and give you a sense for what it's like to see connections in language, in concept, the ideas flowing through, the contrasts, and how when you read a mizmor, you have to look before, after the subject matter. In this particular one that's talking about money, really, what is this final one? We didn't say it, so let's just very quickly say it. What is he saying about all of that was presented in 45? He made the ultimate. Yeah. Right. He made. Correct. Tired. Right. 45 is here to tell you folks that this is in fact what it's like for a king. This is what a king is. This is any king. I want to tell you, it's very frustrating in a thing like this. It's already 10:40. We went 10 minutes past the end of the time. You can't imagine. I really want to express this is the end of the lecture series, Baruch Hashem. This is the third one now. It's extremely difficult in the in this kind of a setting, in 1985, this work on Tehillim was in its very early stages, and then through the years it's been sort of worked on. You should know that all of it is a result of our classes and our studying with Rabbi Sassoon. He's the one, Alav Shalom, he's the one who gave us the combination. He gave us the key. And with the Hacham Moshe, who introduced us to Rabbi Sassoon, we learned with Rabbi Sassoon for 17 years, and in that time, we always knew we were learning with an individual who was in a league of his own, really, really a great, great person. And he gave us these keys to Tehillim, to the Torah, to all of the Tanakh.